Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliate of Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of AMC Press. We are sorry we were off last week, but we are now back on. Isn't that right, Johnny?
We are back. Back, ready to rock, locked and loaded. Let's do this.
And this edition of AMC Press & Co. is episode 446, is sponsored by this clipping. It's a building crime unit. Regular households have tradition. Obviously, households have pretty good tradition. We asked the kid who stole the Wienermobile, not Anthony Wiener's mobile, but the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, to elaborate. He told us everything was shite. Oscar Mayer, in his defense, fired the architect who constructed the legendary taxi, putting a hipster in its place. Special shout-out goes to the kid known as Gary Katzman, who does all webmastering. He's quite a kid, and he's quite a webmaster. Anyway, you can find us at itsmyreels.com/AMC Press, and shop for us on Zazzle, keyword AMC Press pop-up shop. Our Twitter handles are at AMC Press 31 and AMC Press News. And on the show, let's see. Someone put a Harry Potter book of Monster Book of Monsters on the cover of their senior thesis. Why? We don't know. Maybe it's to have the entirety of the Muggle population of the high schools look at them differently as if they had a wand in their pocket. Or it's because of the fact that they love Harry Potter even though they're how many years old? Granted, we both love Harry Potter on the show. We all love Harry Potter, and some of us are just getting into Harry Potter. But if you're some years too late and you're in your mid-20s and you still love Harry Potter, great for you. But now, God bless.
God bless you.
But the Muggle world is full of tutorials on how to make your own Monster Book of Monsters, like not the non-magical way. And we do pretty well with ourselves, but, you know, today, most of our friends, our focus is not on the wide world of Monster Book of Monsters and tutorials, but on a lone Redditor with a dream. The dream being being done with a senior thesis, and the Red Books rocker of the socks decided to make our day, or their day, or the World's Day by sharing this gem with the Harry Potter subreddit. She said, I thought you guys might appreciate this. I made to put this on my senior research paper over Harry Potter in it. She wrote. She continued to write that you are truly a fan who's lived to inspire us to go to Michael's and buy some cheap fur, some googly eyes, and some hot glue, and take them to a trapper keeper. Which is actually what it is. However, trapper keeper, for those of us not in the know, was a 90s version of a binder. Yes, I still have mine. Anyway, can you imagine how happy it must have been made the kids' professor to receive a month of research paper that eats you? Yes.
Oh.
I'm picturing it right now. Aren't you, Johnny?
Oh, dear.
The professor. What? What?
Let's see. That's a nice research
paper.
That's
a monster book.
Oh.
That or the thing slowly crawls towards it on the desk and just goes, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you. And just, here's the thing, to the Jaws theme, you know, kind of thing. But it looks too friendly, says one. Even Neville Longbottom couldn't stroke the spine without fear. And we hope, honestly, we over at AMC Press hope that the contents of the paper are exciting as the cover, and that it might be the only time in history and a teacher has ever actually looked forward to grading homework. You know, I actually did something really funny for my professor, which was I made one of my finals, a 3-course dessert menu of film. And so I said, you know, with the writing I used for this on the show, you know, I just put it in essay form and said, yes, you'll be receiving A, B, and C, and the third one was 400 blows to the head. So I guess how I was going to fit 400 blows to the head, as in 400 blows to film, into a essay. I basically did that, and it was fun. But back to the rocker on the socks, mostly answered, I just really like crafting and creating things. And we give it a grade A, and so does the Daily Dot as well.
I can do better now. I give it an A+.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is funny because, like, I don't know, what did you do for your senior thesis or your thesis and whatever?
Oh, God. I forgot. It was like, what? 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey,
no, I remember I've done for my theses, and I'm lucky I still remember these, but the last thesis I ever did, which turned into my first project, which turned into my first professional job. And and that was great. That was my thesis, my final thesis. But I did one on Norman Lear, and I couldn't bring Norman Lear along, so I just did a 14-page thesis that included all of his biographies, you know, which is really thoroughly researched out. But I did one on Manson, I did one on the Federal Theater, I did one on the Century Comics. I did one on, you know, I did about 9 or 10 theses during college. And all of them more interesting than the last one. But I wasn't this creative. I didn't think that the professor would have enjoyed it. You know what I mean? But
I think mine was actually some on culinary, because that was my major back when I was in high
school. You did a culinary paper?
Yeah, like, back when I was in high school, my major was culinary arts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So you must have done it on your favorite chef, then.
I believe it was something on knife cuts or something like that.
On knife cuts?
This was back in 2007, 2008. It was like... Going farther back in the history.
Oh, damn. I was in my mid-teens then. Yeah. Anyway, all I have to say is you never know. I mean, what these things can inspire when...
All of a sudden, boom, you're 28.
You're 28 and you're living at home and you don't know what to do with your life, but, you know.
Enough with my life story.
I mean, there are people who do stuff with their lives and people who, you know, say they're doing stuff with their lives, and then those people, you know, become other people and whatever. And it's a revolving circle. However, it's a brilliant thing, because DYI, you know, this show is DYI for the bulk of it. You know what I mean? We don't have any sponsors, but we do, you know, it's a team effort, you know? And that's a great thing. However, let's see. What was your favorite children's book when you were a kid?
Oh, that. When I was young, there was a time I actually liked the Harry Potter series.
Oh, you what?
So there was a time back when I liked the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, I was. My favorite book before Harry Potter even came out was a book called The Phantom Tollbooth, which, ironically, when I attended St. Francis College, shout out to St. Francis College, they're excellent, they wrote the entire book 5 blocks from where St. Francis actually exists, you know, which is brilliant. The funny thing is that, you know, children's books, when you think of them, when you really think of them, they teach us stuff. Or they're supposed to do stuff and whatnot. The funniest thing of it is that my reading list included blah and included Harry Potter. I included The Giving Tree.
That was some good stuff right there.
Yeah, The Giving Tree, a lot of Jules Pfeiffer stuff, Calvin and Hobbes. A lot of plays. I am a nerd of plays and texts. You know, a lot of political satire. I was a lot of Carole King, a lot of biographies, that sort of thing, and really, really, really loved it. But anyway, why am I bringing this up? Because the Newbery Medal, the Newbery Medal Awards have honored honored three books for being honored for their portrayal of the disability experience through a special set of awards given alongside the well-known Caldecott and Newbery Medal. This year, the winners of this year's Schneider's Family Book Award include The Tale of a Boy Who Stutters and A Girl with Autism and Young Adults with Intellectual Disabilities During Transition. The Schneider's Awards are presented annually by the American Library Association to authors and illustrators for the artistic expression of the disability experience, and one award is given for the work aimed at three audiences. In the youngest category, writer Alan Rabinowitz and illustrator Caitlin Chen won the books for A Boy and the Jaguar, which is about a young boy who stutters uncontrollably, except when he talks to animals, which is kind of cool because the other ones, the other one was awarded to N.M. Martin's Rain, which has received the Middle School Award for depicting a girl with the life of a girl with autism who must break her return in order to find her beloved dog who goes missing. And Martin creates the authentic portrayal of a girl on the autism spectrum in getting to know the resilient character of the reader's misconceptions about, you know, this disability will be altered, said Allison Beecher, chair of the Schneider Family Book Award. Gail Giles won the teen category of a book called Girls Like Us, which follows two very different young women with disabilities who become roommates after a compelling high school special education program. In the surprising, gripping novel, we just gain insight into the challenges of young adults with intellectual disabilities through an unlikely friendship with two women who gain empowerment and independence in family. The awards were announced this week by the American Library Association midwinter meeting in Chicago. Boy, they must have had a great time. And at the same time, the organization has said to award the Newbery Medal of Children's Literature, which will go to Kwame Alexander for Crossover, and the Caldecott Medal for Fiction Work will honor Dan Seth, which is the adventures of Deco and Unimaginary Friend. Each of the Schneider recipients will receive $5,000 and a frame pack at the Library Association Annual Conference in San Francisco in June, which is quite cool. You know, but when I think of all those books when I grew up, you know, growing up, that I read, that informed me about the world, I really, you know, I don't know, what do you think, Johnny, about that?
Excuse me. I can't spit it out. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Johnny cannot talk tonight.
No. No.
Yes, that's pretty amazing.
It's very amazing. I think because you take all this stuff, you take all this stuff, and I think that what happens is that we've discovered a new way to tell stories, you know. I think. And when you discover that, it's a great thing to it's a great thing to discover that then now and now, considering you know, special education as a subject, when it's not new, it's just being reintroduced, you know what I mean? And I guess I'm going to probably look see if I can get these books, because this is awesome to me.
I'm sure they're easily available on that Amazon website.
Yeah, they're also available.
There's only one.
It's also available on. I mean, I'm into audiobooks, but I think the best thing about it is, you know, also that the storylines have shifted. You can do, usually, disabilities are the ones that actually get teased, you know, the most. In this, it's great to see that this person is finally, that these guys have finally picked up the pens and we're finally getting some acceptance around here. And it's important for teens to know this, you know, that when you do write something that has any kind of disability aspect, you know, it's available, Girls Like Us is actually available on Kindle, hardcover, and paperback on Amazon. They haven't done it for audiobooks yet, but you know, It's it's kind of a thing. It's a great thing when you can actually do that. But yeah, I hope it continues. It's a huge niche, and really, Louis Saka did it. Wendy Massa did it. You know. Roxanne St. Clair is also great. Katie is also great. Carmen, Pat Schmidt, Anthony Johnston, which is great. But, you know, Katie is just new with you, but it's great that they're doing it. Now, we move on. We move on to the Wienermobile crashing. Yes, it's true. The Wienermobile crashed into a 27-foot pole.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the legendary Wienermobile crashed into a 27-foot pole in Enola, PA. And officials say that the giant hot dog on wheels slid into a road and slammed into a pole near Harrisburg, and no injuries were reported, but the crash snarled local traffic. And the only thing is to blame, the song Oscar Mayer Wiener should be changed. I wish I didn't have an Oscar Mayer Wiener. I wish I didn't, you know. And you can go on from that. Right?
Grab your wiener whistles.
Exactly. Grab your wiener whistles. Grab Anthony Wiener. Grab all the wieners that you can hold. And then just shove it down the road. You know, kind of thing.
Oh, my.
But it is kind of funny with, you know, the architecture of the Wienermobile.
I don't know how many of them are left, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know.
It's like a rare car.
It is a very rare car. In the fact that they don't even know how many are left, and they can't just get... They just can't get.
Do you guys how rare the Wienermobile is?
Actually, I don't.
You have a better chance of seeing a supercar Ferrari than a Wienermobile. There are only
That's
eight.
True.
Only eight in existence.
Well, now seven. You know.
How would you fix the Wienermobile?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a manual.
That's another thing. I keep thinking of, you know, people in, like, junkyards, you know, going, does this part fit? Does this part fit? Does that not fit? You know? No, that one. And they all, they just spray paint it orange or whatever. Or whatever color.
All right.
But it is funny because it's a series. They're saying that the Wienermobile, the history of the Wienermobile, is that it was in 1952, the original Wienermobile, was at the North American International Auto Show. But then, as the Wienermobile evolved, although gas kept rationing and kept the Wienermobile off the road, as opposed to the Wienermobile.
Apparently, the one they made in 2008 was based off a Mini Cooper S hardtop.
Yeah, and then the one they made in 2004 was based off of a GMC W Series chassis with Pontiac Firebird taillight. So,
which is basically the equivalent to a Isuzu N Series or the Isuzu L.
Yeah.
Basically, like one of the Isuzu trucks you see.
Yeah, it is. I think it's interesting of, you know, they've had other, they have other stuff. But the Oscar Mayer, if you want to know more about the Oscar Mayer band, Oscar Mayer stuff.
Here's an interesting one. The 1969-1988 ones had a Chevrolet chassis with a Ford Thunderbird taillight. That is interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
GM and Ford all in one.
They've never. What's interesting to me is that they've never, you know, they've never actually changed the color of the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck at all. You know, it's always been the same thing, which is.
Like familiar.
You know, but the. It's very funny because a lot of the Wienermobile and whatever you know, now. Now, you know, since they've crashed one, you know what I mean? They've crashed one. How many are there left? You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
If it wasn't too terribly damaged, there's probably still a link out there.
Well, maybe.
I mean, basically, you can just, what, they basically make new sheet metal and boom.
Maybe make new sheet metal, but.
Your wiener is fixed.
Well, yeah, right.
Where? Thank you.
Exactly. But, It is funny. But now, you know, who knows what is going to go down regarding the fixing of this. All we know is we hope that the Wienermobile doesn't have any accidents. I mean, why do I feel like there is going to be an accident with people? It's going to get into the Wienermobile getting into more and more the Wienermobile driver getting into therapy about everything. You know, it would be bad. It would be really bad. I mean, could you imagine? Yes, over the years I've had some trouble with Wienermobile, and you know, national leaders then coming in. Yes, I have more troubles with the Wienermobile than I can count. There's nothing left. You know, there's nothing left. And the therapist will say, "Well, we feel sorry for you. Maybe we could schedule you in your next appointment." You know, kind of thing. However, it is very funny that you have all of, and it's funny how all these attacks, right, occur in Ohio, Pennsylvania, or upstate New York. You know, if they went to the inner city, let's just say all the hoodlums would go, "Oh my God, it's an Oscar Mayer wheel truck," and then just chase it down the street. I mean, that's what I think would happen. However, it would also be something of a thing that the Wienermobile also, you know, when they originally made it, it was for fun, you know, like let's just take it's vanity license, like Our Dog, Yummy, Big Bun, Little Link, Oh I Wish, Wiener, W-E-E-N-R, W-E-W-N-R-M-O-M-B-L-E, Bologna, Relish Me, Oscar Mayer, I Wish I Were. And honestly, it is kind of funny. Other mishaps include, in 1997, the Wienermobile was a promotional vehicle. Would came to a stop in Store Drive in Boston, Massachusetts, and during rush hour traffic, and the Wiener driver feared that he would not be able to fit under the 10-foot protection bridge crossing on the busy road, and he was waiting for assistance. And he was waiting for assistance, you know? Then in 2009, there's a Wienermobile on a cul-de-sac in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, was attempting to turn around in a residential driveway. The driver accidentally hit the gas pedal instead of the brake, which lodged the Wienermobile under the house and destroyed the deck, you know? Then the most recent one in 2009, June to July, when the Wienermobile visited Hawaii, it was met with harsh criticism in the local outdoor circle, best known for pushing Hawaii strict billboard ban through the 1927 legislation, and a representative from the Oscar Mayer company insisted that the mobile hot dog on a bun did nothing wrong, but there was no indication that there was an environmental impact stated. You know, which is great. But then last year, in 2010, it was rear-ended a car in Texas, you know? So
Accidents
happen. And even to the best hot dogs in the United States of America and around the world. You know, even in Germany, Hitler might have gone, "Wie wäre ein Oscar Mayer Wiener?" But yet, "I wish I can use the Oscar Mayer Wiener to do harm." How far would it get him? You know, how far would it get him? Every Nazis or black shirts in historical context, even though they're in Italy, black shirts were in Italy, Nazis were in Germany, and then the USO, of course, is around the world. Like, everyone eating hot dogs and saying, "I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener," and Hitler can't take it, neither can Benito Mussolini, and they both forbid it, and they both outlaw it. And every soldier is like, "I wish I were very happy, but I can't be happy in front of him." Kind of thing. but, yeah, I think it's kind of funny. You know, in that respect. What do you think, Johnny?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, could you even think of any other historical incident where, you know what I mean? In history, where the Wienermobile should have been. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I think I know. If Allison were on, she'd probably say, you know, she's a history buff. Probably, I would love to see it. I would personally love to see it. At the crossing of the Delaware towards Washington, in the middle of the Wiener. "Yes, Ben, we have it, we have it." And they're dropping it. And the English are going, just going, "We don't know what to do with this information." "Abort! There's a giant hot dog headed towards us." Yeah, kind of thing. It'd be pretty funny. It's a great thing. It's a great thing, to do that, you know? But yeah, our last one of the night. And then, well, we have an input for you. The Niagara Falls Niagara Falls has frozen over to Arctic temperatures. And Johnny, you know more about this ice than I do, so take it away.
Apparently here on the East Coast, we've been under so much cold that Great Niagara Falls has frozen over.
How?
Like all the water and mist, actually, it got so cold, it froze.
What do you mean?
Like, for the past couple weeks, it's been below freezing, and Mother Nature can be so beautiful sometimes.
Well, I mean, if everybody...
It's been, like, super cold.
Super cold?
Yeah. Of course, when it's, like, below, say, 32 degrees for the past couple weeks, you know ice is going to form.
Well, yeah, but how many weeks did this occur?
It's been very cold for the past 2-3 weeks. Maybe even longer.
Two to three weeks.
Most of the winter's been, like, so freezing.
Well, yeah, it's freezing temperatures out there. I mean, on Valentine's Day, it was awful. You know what I mean?
Apparently around here we're gonna see things we haven't seen in a long time in February. Below zero.
Below zero in what?
Below zero Fahrenheit. In February,
In February. Amazing.
It don't ever get that cold around here. In February, it's even rare. Whew. Is
oh,
great
cold, man. It's not even that. It's more like, you know, when the gopher says, or the fucking groundhog says, oh, yes, you're going to get 7 more weeks of winter. And you go, it's nearly March. Can you stop, please? You know, kind of thing.
Before, this is a pretty easy winter.
Oh, yeah.
Until after the groundhog, boom, it just kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
It kicked in harsh.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, the other thing about it is also about it, it is also, historically, Niagara Falls is supposed to be great, but then what do you do when you have a new kind of thing where everything freezes over and you want the polar bears almost to come to Niagara Falls and start playing polo hockey, you know, or even better, or even by Tanya Harding going, I'm going to do the impossible and basically fuck over Michelle Kwan for the win. Yes. That'd be fun.
You know it's cold when Alaska looks like a summertime destination. Warm weather destination.
In terms of what?
I tell you what, 32 degrees never looks so warm.
Well, 32 degrees never looks so warm in how much weather?
Especially with 24 around here. Even 24.
Oh, yeah.
Even 24 looks warm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks so warm. I mean, Florida weather is warm compared to this. But now,
Even Florida's going to get this cold.
Yeah, and then it's even funnier with what exactly happened to an 82-year-old in Georgia. That an 82-year-old was faced with a stench of a criminal record after allegedly stealing a bottle of Texas Pepsi. Well, 82-year-old, and she's looking directly into the lens on how ugly she really is. Deputies in Richmond County, Georgia, arrested Annalise Young on January 27th after they found that she entered a CVS store. An employee allegedly saw her put a bottle of Texas Pepsi into a purse. The young allegedly walked out of the drugstore without paying for her $7.39 bottle of perfume or bottle of body spray. No wonder why she had Texas Pepsi, because maybe, you know, possibly the associate was possibly either young or black or white, or she was white, the other one was black, and yeah, sexist, definitely. But also, the employee was confronted Young about the alleged, you know, thing, and what do old biddies do? They go, oh, no, we can do that, and just fuck off. Thanks. Yeah, it was great. Yep. But the Daily Mail reported that the octogenarian was taken. Young was taken to the Richmond County Jail and booked on charge of larceny and later released. But then the branch fireworks sent 82-year-old Texas Fantasy fireworks. All I have to say, Johnny, do you have anything to say to this?
Maybe she wants to be like Katy Perry, or I don't know.
Ew! Oh my god, ew. But yet, the burst of sexually plump strawberries and succulent peaches and voluptuous vanilla come together.
I want to be like Katy Perry! Oh my plastic!
Oh my god.
Please don't.
Yeah, it's like, please don't. We will all benefit from...
Please don't.
Yeah, please don't. But, I guess that will conclude the show for tonight.
Yep.
I'll be back tomorrow.
On that bomb.
What? That's all. That's all we have for tonight.
Like on that bombshell.
Yeah, it was a very short show. But now... Now,
oh, yeah, that's about it.
You know. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Now we have the end of show credits. Well, that's the only thing we have to do, right? So, this episode was produced by AMC Press & Co. Our sound was Johnny DeBell. Our drivers are Teenager and Wiener. Our intern is Valentina Blink. Her intern is D. Wimp. The Wimpton Nerd is D-Spanked, and D-Spanked is Denied, and Denied's intern is Cuffed, and Cuffed intern is 50 Shades of Crossword, and Crossword's intern is Black and Blue. Black and Blue's assistant is definitely dumb. And with that, however, we aren't. However,
how
we aren't
dumb is he now?
I don't know how dumb he is. But however,
don't
we are
worry.
Finished.
Keep playing.
Yeah, right, exactly. However, our show is produced by choosing the iPhones and microphones. This concludes our show for tonight. And with that, tune in tomorrow for more satire and same satire time and same satire podcast from all of you. What do we say?
Good night, everybody.
I said good night. Exactly. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.